Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
You know, to some extent, our social standing is shaped by the family that we're born into. But what if you're born as an outcast and you are denied basic human rights simply because of the family that you are born to? Well, that is the reality for 250 million Dalits in India's caste system. Now, Dr. Joseph D'Souza is the president of Operation Mercy. It's a part of the Operation Mobilization Group, and they're aiming to free the Dalits. And he joins us now. Welcome to Open House, Dr. D'Souza. Obviously, you're enjoying your time in Australia.
I am, and enjoying the weather too, thank you.
I bet you are. And Then when you leave Australia, you're back to?
Back to India, Hyderabad. Yeah. In central India.
Okay, well, it's good to have you while you're here. What is a Dalit and what is their place in Indian society?
The Dalits originally were known as the untouchables in India, and some people know them as untouchables. But it's a term that means crushed, broken, totally smashed, totally dehumanized. It's a Sanskrit word which the outcasts, the untouchables, have given themselves. And this now comprises nearly 250 million people who are not within the caste system and outside of the caste system and considered as less than animals, people who have no rights spiritually and otherwise. And today, in today's world, and as the world celebrates Wilberforce's 200th bicentennial of abolition of the slave trade, they're recognized as modern slavery's biggest challenge.
Mm. Describe the caste system to those of us Westerners who are still trying to get our mind around it.
The caste system is prevalent in India, and it governs all of life from birth to death. And a small percentage of people, 15% of the people, comprise the upper caste, and they are said to be created from the head and the shoulders and the body of God, and they have all of the rights. And on top of the pile, of course, are the Brahmins, the priestly caste, who govern and rule and control India, and they've been governing India for 3,000 years. And then from the lower part of God's body, which is his feet, come a caste which is called the Sudra, which is actually transliterated from Sanskrit is slave. They are the slave caste, and they are 45% of the population. That's 450 million people of today's India of 1 billion people. And that itself would be a problem, to have a group of people who are called slave caste.
Absolutely.
And they have, you know, do not have rights. They're called Hindus, but they cannot become priests. They're called Hindus. They can never teach the scriptures. That is the backward caste. But then you have a group of people who are outside of the body of God, not created by God, created as less than dung, and by birth, everybody's occupation is fixed by caste, and by birth, their occupation is to serve everybody else and do the most degrading and menial of jobs, like carrying human excrement, or like cleaning the streets, working with dead bodies, etc., and live in the tribal areas. And they've been exploited, abused. In 2003, there were more than 100,000 recorded atrocities against them. There's a report out just recently that in one state in India, of all the atrocities committed against them, only 2% ever reached the conviction state. So that's their situation.
How on earth do you even begin to look at changing something that's been ingrained in a culture, Hindu Indian culture, for 3,000 years?
The change has to come when the people themselves want change. And one of the great developments of modern India is, you see, when the constitution was formed, B.R. Ambedkar was the framer of our constitution, and he himself was a Dalit. And he was educated in both at Columbia University and in the London School of Economics. And he fashioned our constitution partly based on American constitution and British constitution. And we have basic rights are given there. And he also gave affirmative action rights for the Dalits. But the law is one thing, but actually the implementation of the law is not there. But due to globalization and other factors, the Dalits are now conscious about what their situation is, that they are slaves. I mean, because Ambedkar, who told them in 1937, I'm born a Hindu, but I will not die a Hindu, because this system does not give me anything. And consider the plight of the Dalits even today. They are not allowed in most of the temples. If they go into the temples, they are killed. Dalits cannot become priests. Dalit cannot teach the scriptures. They are unholy. They pollute.
How do you know somebody is a Dalit?
oh, very easy. Most Indians are so cost conscious. It's almost like second nature to us. We ask a couple of questions, you know, where do you come from? What's your name? What's your occupation? Where your parents are? And end of story, we know who is where. And especially when it comes to marriage, everybody knows their caste in India. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so what is your vision? What's the vision of Operation Mobilization?
Our vision is actually a response to the Dalit request. The Dalits have asked for us to deliver their children. Everybody is talking about the trafficking of children and child labor and child slavery. The Dalits are by far in around the world the largest section of bonded slaves. 15 million children in India are supposed to be in bonded child labor. And out of that, the vast majority, 85%, are Dalits. Millions of girls are sold into the trafficking of girls, sex trafficking, and they are minors. And the Dalit leaders have just had one major request: free our children, release our children, and empower our children, and give them education, and give them an alternate worldview. This nonsense about being less than animals, less than humans, give them a worldview which teaches them that they are created by God, they're created in the image of God, there is a God that loves them, rebuild their lives, rebuild their minds, and start these education centers where you create the environment of equality and justice and human kindness.
Kind of schools?
Yeah, very much. They are schools. They're multi-purpose institutions, but education and school is one of the main things that happens there. And of course, we give them a globalized education in that, a quality English medium school, so it's no more of the same old schools. You know, the saying in the, among the Dalits is the upper caste go to the private elite English medium schools, and so there's first-class schools for first-class people, and then there's third-class schools for third-class people. Those are the schools that are run on the countryside by the government, where the teachers do not come, and non-functional education system. But they said, no, we want a good quality education and schools that are run by you Christians.
But Joseph, once you've educated the children, what are you going to do then? I mean, they're still going to grow up in that whole system.
No, once they grow up in our schools and in our system, they grow up with a different mindset about who they are, what they are, a different sense of self-worth, able to lift their head up. And once they finish the schools, then they're able to access all of the affirmative action benefits that are there for them in the colleges, in the institutions, and in the job sectors, which so far they've not been able to access.
Makes sense. Yeah, makes sense. So you're kind of arranging like a child sponsorship program now?
Huge, huge child sponsorship program focused on releasing these people from slavery and their problems. And that information is available on our website. And for $35, I think, a child can be freed and saved and put through school and released.
How many schools do you want to have?
We have already 64 across the nation. We want to go to the first 100, and then we want to go to the first 1,000 centers across the nation.
In what time?
Within 10 years.
Okay, great vision. Great vision. I just say, God give you power and strength to do that.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful vision. May I ask what caste you are?
Me, I come from one of the upper caste, and my story, personal story, is that 29 years ago, I married a Dalit woman, and that changed my life upside down. Yeah, absolutely.
How did it change your life?
Because when I wanted to marry her, she said, "You don't understand how the caste system works." I said, "Look, we both know the Lord and we need to get married, and I want to marry." She said, "No, you have to come to my village and see what life is really like for us." And when I went there, I saw what real India was. So you see, if you're living in the urban India and you're grown up in an upper in city India and you are from the upper caste, you never are exposed to what actually is going on in the countryside. So now I say, just go 40, 50 kilometers out of a major city and you will see the other India. And every village in India is two villages. On one side live the upper caste, on the other side live the Dalits, and the twain shall never meet.
Did that give you a taste then for what you're doing now? Did that almost kind of spur you on to do what you're doing now?
It prepared me, but I never knew that the Dalits would be in full-fledged revolt 20 years on, and then this movement would erupt and I would be drawn into it by God and I would play my role in this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it definitely has prepared me for what I do.
Have there been some family ramifications? The fact that you've married a Dalit?
My mom, of course, supported the alliance. My father resisted the alliance and took some time for him to accept that somebody had gone outside of the caste system. And I'm a Christian. And the sad thing is about Christianity in India, especially in the South, there is caste system in the church. Oh, yeah. And that is a big stumbling block for the testimony of Christ.
Well, it's great that people like you were actually working against that. and make sure it's rid out of the church first and foremost.
Absolutely. If we are Christians and if we say we are the creatures of God, Jehovah, and Jehovah makes everybody in his image, man and woman, everybody is equally precious, and Jesus loves everybody equally and has died for, even if there was one Dalit in the world, he would have died for the Dalit. So that's basically the essence of the Bible. So there's no way we can practice either caste system or any form of slavery within the church. Impossible.
You've won me over. Thanks for your time, Dr. Joseph D'Souza. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And you know, I welcome our listeners to either go to the omrelief.org website or to the international website dalitnetwork.org.
Okay, so those websites again, omrelief.org.au. omrelief.org.au, that's where you can find out about sponsoring a child, or dalitnetwork.org, which is where you can find out some more details on Joseph's blog and his thoughts there too.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.